As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy might be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. And actually, do you know, I want to say thank you. I think it's been a lovely service so far. And it was really refreshing. And do you know, we didn't talk about what I was going to say, and you had an idea. But actually, it's all come together. And I think, you know, what God wants to say to us, I really do believe, is the right thing. And I'm going to move that. I'm sorry, but I can't see everybody. That's better. And more to the point, you can't see me either. Oh, thank you. And I didn't start off with the vine life. I started way back in May, when some of us were reading about crossroads. And David led a service that started with the crossroads. Have I got this the right way up? Yes. And this special verse, this is what the Lord says: stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. It didn't end there, of course. It says, but you said we will not walk in it. I would just stop there, because I think sometimes we have unwittingly said, but we will not walk in it. Actually, we'll go so far and no further. Those Bible reading notes that David and I, and I think Mike and one or two others use, in that reading, it was prepared by someone I know, actually, who was a lecturer at London Bible College, London School of Theology as it is. And she said, maybe this is the time for a spiritual health check. And I have to confess, I looked around and I saw some of our glum old faces, not yours. And I thought, do you know, she's absolutely right. I think of myself, and sometimes I feel really weary. It's time I took a hold on myself and had a look at what I'm really like. But alongside that verse, another one came to mind, and it wasn't mentioned in the reading. It was turning me to Revelation, and this is really weird. I don't know why, you know? But God has this nasty habit sometimes of poking you and saying, remember this? So this is to the angel of the church in Ephesus. And really it goes down, I know your works, your toil and your patient endurance. I know you're enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary, question that, but I have this against you, that you've abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, and we've been remembering a lot, haven't we? Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. And to me, that wasn't a judgment, but it was really an encouragement to say, hey, look back. You've got a fresh start here. You're at these crossroads. You can decide, Either you'll just amble along to the right or the left, or you'll go forward. And to me, it's incredibly important that we all say, I'm going forward. It's only too easy to say, well, okay, yeah, okay, I sign up to that, but I don't really mean it, actually. Can we all sign up to it? We can't all do everything that's necessary, but we can all be together in a project that takes us forward. And we might not always agree with what's going on. But you know, part of being a Baptist, and you were going to preach about that, being a Baptist, yes.
Oh,
part of being a Baptist is that we all take responsibility. We are all part of it. We're not sitting on the sidelines and saying, yes, carry on, leaders. Yes, carry on, you over there. We're saying, we're part of this. I may not be able to go and help with Holiday Club every day, but my goodness, I can pray for it. And I'm thinking today of the people who are setting up camp ready for WEC. And I'm thinking, hey, I can't be there, but I can pray for them and really back them up as much as I'm able. So, I haven't started yet. I'm getting a bit like the minister. I just want to say that as I was looking at these things, the Lord also prodded me and sent me to my bookshelves to take down two specific books. And one of them was The Prayer of Jabez. I'm not going to say anything more, folks, so don't get worried, because in a couple of Sundays' time, you're going to hear more about The Prayer of Jabez. But the other one was this peculiar little book, really, called The Vine Life. And I went there because it's not a great spiritual tome, but what it is a record of what happened to some people. And there was a dinner party, a group of people, about a dozen people, all in midlife, so a bit younger than most of us, met and had a talk about the past. You know, they'd all grown up together, been part of a youth fellowship, and they're all involved in amazing things. They're all doing good things for God. But as the conversation continued that night, each person bringing the other people up to date on what had been happening, everyone expressed the same longing. I don't have it made. I need to get back to the basics of an abiding, surrendered, dependent relationship with God. And people around were nodding and saying, yeah, we need to get back to the vine. None of us had left God or detoured to do his own thing, but we were all increasingly aware of our need to be totally dependent on Jesus if our lives were going to count for anything lasting. The vine. The vine was a symbol of Israel. It's always been a symbol of Israel. The thing about that was that Israel had failed to be the vine. The nation was meant to be people who introduced others to God, to say, yes, our God is great, which they did, but it was very much, our God is great. Our God is great. And they didn't share him with others. They thought he was theirs alone. And there was pride and selfishness there at the root of it all. He's mine. The true vine comes along, and Jesus says, I am the true vine. This is what it's meant to be like. It's not meant to be like that. God's love is for everyone. And we've already been singing and praying about that this morning. And as Jesus went on in his life, he showed exactly the opposite characteristics to pride and selfishness. He was humble and he showed love. Now, this won't be an exhaustive study of this passage, you will be pleased to understand, because it would go on a long time. But I trust it won't be exhausting. I don't want it to be exhausting, because it thrills me to bits, this passage. So, what is abiding? Because I think it used remain, did it, in the passage. But I love that word abiding, actually. I was thinking, some funerals, they usually sing very glumly, "Abide with me, fast falls the eventide," and you think, But actually, it has something really definite in there, that whoever is singing it is saying, I need you to abide, not just to pop in and pay a visit, I need you to stay with me. And that's what abiding is, isn't it? Both whether Jesus is abiding in us or we are abiding in him. It's a two-way thing. We're meant to remain with, to reside with, to wait with, to continue with. And the phrase I hate, actually, but hang on in there with him, no matter what happens. But, you know, that whole idea that the relationship with Jesus is a permanent one. It doesn't pop in on Sunday mornings. It doesn't pop in when you're having your quiet time for the hour that you spend, or the few minutes, or the many hours that you spend. He's still there the whole time. And what happens when we abide? What happens when we abide in him? Something really special. And this, I think, is at the root of what we need to be. If we abide fully, then it should be something really special that everybody's going to notice. The vine is the entire exclusive source of life for the branch. Exclusive source of life? Is God and his spirit, is that the exclusive source of life? All of the life comes up and out and into the branches. It's got to be exclusive, no matter what happens on the outside. There are other things that penetrate, other things that have an impact. But that is the most important thing. Is our relationship with God exclusive? I find this example is fairly amusing, really, because if we're vines, then we're placed in lines. Picture us all being placed in lines, you know. You're in this line, you're in that line. But actually, the point of this is that actually the light can get in. The vine dresser can move between the vines, get to every little bit. So what we're saying is that actually God places us, not necessarily in lines, but he places us where he wants us and where he can look after us most easily. And sometimes that's hard. Because actually, you want to say, well, Lord, I don't really want to be here, either geographically or in your situation, you might say, Lord, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in this situation. I don't want to be looking for somewhere to live when I'm old. I don't want to change my home. I don't want to do that. But we have to come to the point, all of us, of saying, you have placed me here, Lord. I believe you've placed me here. You've placed me here with these people, Lord, all this lot. And now I need your help, actually. I need your help. So I get on with them all. And sometimes it's jolly hard, isn't it? Am I the only one who finds it hard? In which case, I'll go. So God places us in the right place, and so that he can care for us. He cares for us all of the time. He moves along the rows. He moves between us. He cares for each one of us. And sometimes we can look and say, we can see he's caring for Bill this morning. We know he's caring for Bill. He's gone through a rough time. But we know he's caring for him. He's caring for Jan. And she doesn't know what's going on in her life. But actually, he's caring for her. And we can look around and see that God is caring for each one of us in different ways. Planted, I like this phrase actually, planted in the full sun of the light of the world. No shady places for disease to fester. Now then, can we open our lives to let that sunlight in? Because sometimes there's something festering, folks. It's a little bit dark in the corner over there. That's the way he wants it. And pruning away things in order to make way for the best. This is one of the hardest things, isn't it? I don't want to be pruned. But sometimes we need it, and we know we need it. You know, that Barry Richardson, he's been coming along to coffee morning every morning the last few weeks, and he's bringing along this little tray filled with these lovely, luscious raspberries and tabberries. And he passes them round. We all have one. And you think, shucks, Barry, how did you get them that big? I'm glad Denise isn't here this morning, because Clive and I have struggled this year. Our raspberry canes are at the bottom of the garden. So things have been happening down there that we want not of. We didn't know. And suddenly, she didn't actually say, why don't you walk down your garden more often? She could have done, actually. You tell her that. But suddenly, walked down the garden, I thought, oh, goodness. Now, I'm sure we pruned these canes, but look at them. They've gone wild. They're all over everywhere. And I'll tell you what else there was. Bindweed. Someone said something about, oh, well, if you put a stick in the ground, the bindweed will go up it. That's the way to deal with it. My goodness, each of those canes was a stick, and the bindweed was going mad and frantic and up and up in the air. We need God to take a hand in our lives, don't we, actually? We need him too, because things can get out of hand. And when all of those things are done, into the middle of all of that comes that little phrase about prayer. Because it says we can pray whatever we like, and we'll get it. Now, come on, what does God mean by that? We will only get our prayers answered as we expect, as we are in relationship with him. You can't just go saying, all right, God, this is what I want. Answer my prayer, that's it. That's why so many of us say, oh, Lord, you know, this is what I really like. If it's your will. And of course, that is the thing, isn't it? If it's your will. And it will only be his will as we're abiding in him and him in us. So if we want, I was going to say if we want our prayers answered, that's not the right thing to say, Jill. If we want to pray as he wants us to, then we have to abide in him and seek what it is he wants us to pray. Remaining in his love. Remaining in his love. This is what the fruit that he expects from us. I'm going to be quite specific here, and some of you may want to argue. In fact, that would be a very good thing. If you disagree with me, go away. Don't tell me. Go away and say, well, look here, this is what Jill said. I don't think that's right. Go to your house groups and say, hey, what's that right, what she said? Because there are two or three things I'm about to say that you may not agree with. And I don't mind, because actually it's meant a lot to me, this, and it's spoken to me. But it may not be speaking to you in the same way. It seems to me that in this passage, why I wanted it right to the end was, this is what the fruit that Jesus expects in our lives. It ain't much, but it's all I've got. My love. Sometimes our love doesn't seem very strong, does it? But that's what God wants. He wants our love. Remain in my love and obey my commands. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Well, that's a lot for a start of, isn't it? He's loved us a lot. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. In other words, to love as Jesus did. You may think this is off at a tangent, but we've had this verse coming at us several times recently from Philippians. I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. It's that phrase in the middle, you know? A bit worrying, isn't it? Participating in his sufferings. Is that what you want? In my quiet time, I've been using the prayers from Barnabas and one of the other suffering, I think Open Doors is the other one. And I read through what people are suffering because of their belief in Jesus. And I think, I don't even want to read this, Lord. And I certainly don't want to be the person on the receiving end of it. What does this mean for me? What does that mean for me here? And I thought about Jesus and his sufferings. I thought about him laying down his life. Now, when we say laying down your life, we invariably mean dying, don't we? Well, I want to say, it's come to me with a freshness that actually, when Jesus laid down his life, he'd started way beyond his death. When he came from heaven, he gave that up. My goodness, how that must have hurt to come to this earth and to live here. And not only that, but he went through all sorts of things. He went through crucifixion, yes, but he washed people's feet. Not a very pleasant occupation, but he served them. He was in a crowd and they were all against him, all through his life. And time and again, well, at least twice, he wept over Jerusalem and he wept over a man's tomb and knowing he had died. How many other times did Jesus actually go away and cry? Because they didn't understand what he was about. We don't know all of the things that happened. And I want to say that for all of us, There may be those times when we are misunderstood and it hurts. And we suffer sometimes and we might go home and say, oh no, I don't understand, why am I going through this? There are other sufferings as well, but particularly entering into the suffering of Jesus. When we say he laid down his life, there were all those things he went through. So, if Jesus calls us to lay down our lives, actually, it's not as quick as dying. I know death can be prolonged, but dying is a one-off act. But living, my goodness, we've no idea how long we've got to live, but actually, we're called to lay down our lives for each other, aren't we? I found this little phrase here. The heart of the matter is that we are to trust God, not ourselves. Our strength and might are perfectly irrelevant in God's plan. We can do nothing on our own, and God intends us for us to learn that. And, you know, I don't know anything. Do you know, I look around and think, how much do I know about all these people, really? I don't know how you start your day. I don't know if you're like me and you say, oh, Lord, I've got all these things that are in my diary, and now I believe you've put them there. How am I going to cope with these? I need you. I need you to give me your strength. I need you to do that. And some days I look at my diary and say, there's nothing here, Lord. What am I meant to do? I don't want to do the housework. Please give me something. And it's this whole idea that actually in order to be and to do, we have to rely on God. We have to. And that's the thing we have to learn. But we've been chosen. We've been chosen to share in Jesus' mission, and that involves showing his love. It also involves suffering, doing things we don't want to do, thank you. But actually, when we do that, we also get joy. We do get joy. And that's incredibly important. That is where we're heading, for the joy that God alone can give when we are part of his life, allowing him to work in our lives. You know, I've got to the end and I'm thinking, well, I'm not sure I've said everything I wanted to. And maybe that's right. Maybe this is something that you need to take away for yourself and say, well, actually, do I want to be a branch? You talk about stones. We're branches, actually. I'm sorry to disagree, but we're branches. You know, we can be good for each other. But sometimes, if you don't do the proper pruning, then some of the branches get twisted and interfere with others, and the light doesn't get in. And we can be like that too. How can we take this, what Jesus says about him being the true vine and abiding in him, how can we take that and truly abide in him so that we are encouraging each other and helping each other? Because that's the important thing in being part of church. The idea of going back to basics. I wanted to sing something. I wanted for us to sing something that meant I'm going back as though it was the first day. Do you remember when you got baptized? Can you remember it? Can you remember when You took a decision for Jesus. Maybe you actually stepped forward. I can't imagine me stepping forward, but stepping forward and taking that decision and saying, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. Do you remember any of this? Because if you do, then what I want to say is this, that there is a sense in which this is the moment as we stand at the crossroads to say, hey, I'm going ahead. I want Jesus, for you to give me back some of that energy and enthusiasm and desire that I had then to live for you. Please, will you do it? And I've chosen to sing a song that you all know. No, not that one. Oh, it's on the thing, isn't it? Thank you. We're going to sing something that you may well have sung, because some of you are as old as I am, and some of them even older. I want us to sing, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee." We're going to sing that, and then we're going to try and sing another one, which is more upbeat, and I'll explain the difference and why. Would you like to stay seated and sing the first verse of "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee," and then stand to sing the rest, please, and ignore the pianist. Lord, you've heard our prayer as we sang it. And for some of us, it will bring back memories of the time when we gave ourselves to you initially. And Lord, we want so much, so much, that today we would take that step forward again, that you would help us. We need your help, Lord. We need you to live in us, and we need to live in you. It's a two-way thing, Lord, and you're always there wanting to live in us. We pray that we will open wide our hearts and our lives to you, to let your sunshine in, and to help us to take that step, which means that we are all together walking into the future, and that we're doing it with you. Please, will you bless us as we do that, because we pray it in Jesus' name and for the Lord's glory. Amen. Would you just sit down a minute, because what we're going to a cappella here. Oh, before we a cappella, is someone helping Mike with the coffee, please? Because Mike's alone today. So thank you so much. I wanted to sing Men of Faith. Why do I want to sing Men of Faith? I heard them practicing it the other week and we didn't sing it. And there's something in it that's quite important. Does that mean? Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Saviour to all, Lord of heaven and earth. That comes in that, and it's so important that actually we remember what the people of Israel forgot, that he's Saviour to all. Yeah? And never mind about that word evangelism, because sometimes it gets us into a twist. Just forget about that word, because it doesn't help us. If we just remember that he's Saviour to all, and it's our job to make sure they know that they're loved. And and also the last verse. Rise up, church, with broken wings. We've spent too long, folks, saying, hey, our church ain't much good. Hey, we're always upsetting one another. Oh, come on, just forget all that. Rise up, church, with broken wings. Fill this place with songs again. of our God who reigns on high. By his grace again, we'll fly. I read somewhere when that someone said, the church has two wings. Well, I think probably we've got more than two, but the church has two wings. If they both flap, we'll fly. And actually, it's true. Do what God tells you to do. Be what God tells you to be. And encourage one another, even if you're doing it differently.